You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, friends. Let's jump right into it this evening. I'm your host, James Edwards. This is the live broadcast of the Political Cesspool for Saturday, September the 10th. And rejoining us for the second time in a month, my old friend Richard Spencer, president of the National Policy Institute. When Richard last appeared on the program, he was offering his response to Hillary's alt-right speech, which took place in Reno, Nevada a few days ago. A lot's happened since then. To offer an official rebuttal to her speech, as well as inform the world as to what the alt-right is all about, Richard had the great idea of holding a press conference in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club. That was scheduled to be held yesterday. There was, in fact, a press conference that was held yesterday featuring Jared and two of our other friends, Peter Brimelow and Jared Taylor. It was, I thought, a decisive victory, a tour de force, but it was not held at the National Press Club. And so we will go to Richard with that. Richard, welcome back and congratulations.
Oh, thank you, James. I'm very proud of what we did yesterday. And it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun to watch. And it's going to be a lot of fun to cover tonight in this first hour. You're on deck for the first half hour. We have Jared Taylor coming on the second half of the first hour. And then we've got a lot more in store as the program continues later on into the evening. But first, if you could, what gave you the idea to have the press conference?
Well, I couldn't believe that Hillary talked about us while I was very weak that I had I was in Japan, of all places. I wanted to go to Japan for many years, and we scheduled this vacation, and then right at the moment I go over there, Hillary decides that she's going to talk about the alt-right by name and connect us, say that we're a burgeoning movement and connect us with Trump and all this kind of stuff. And so I really wanted to do this. And so when I got back from vacation, I started planning. And I thought Jared would be a great choice. I got him involved, got Peter involved too. And we booked a room with the National Press Club. And it's kind of interesting. We have hosted three events at the National Press Club. We hosted one in the winter of 2015. We hosted a press conference that you spoke at in 2011.
That's correct.
And then we hosted a large fall conference in 2015 that I have probably some of your listeners remember. So we are not strangers to the press club. And after 2015, the president of the press club, forgetting his name at the moment, I believe it's McCarran.
Yes.
I was just throwing out ideas for future conferences, dates, and he called me and he said, well, you know, I would hope that he's like, you can come back, and I don't want to suppress free speech, but we're just very worried about this, and the staff gets mad and all this kind of stuff. And I said, look, I want to be on good terms with you. We'll just start going to the Ronald Reagan Building, and I like the Reagan Building better anyway. So I was fine with this whole thing, and we went to the Reagan Building for our last conference the spring. That went great. I felt that this, so I did, you know, I we've not been to the National Press Club for a year. This is eminently newsworthy. We are called out by name by a presidential candidate from a major party. I don't know how you can be more newsworthy.
National
Press Club has hosted Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. They've hosted,
yes,
world leaders,
yes,
that are controversial, to say the least. And so I called them up. I talked to their events manager. We signed a contract, and I indeed paid for the room. And I thought this was all fine. Then I believe his name's McCarran. I'm forgetting. The president discovered what was happening, and he canceled the contract. He had basically reneged on a signed contract.
And this wasn't, just to be clear, you have posted these documents online. This wasn't that you called up and they said, no, we'd rather not. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, also, in the 108-year history of the National Press Club, they have never denied anyone access to their facilities because they bank on, we're a free speech enterprise, this is a free speech forum, anyone can come as long as they have the money, of course. And Richard, they accepted your contract. Yes, and they have done that in the past because you're a regular customer there. And they ran your credit card, signed a contract, offered you the countersigned contract.
Yes. I countersigned. They ran our credit card. They charged us. And then basically it went up the flagpole, and this guy decided to go against us. And I talked to a representative. I just talked to him, and I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is eminently newsworthy. They said, oh, but we have to hire more security because we get threats. And I said, okay, first off, like, you are a free speech organization. You are not a governmental organization. You are a 501c3 that is based on the idea of supporting journalists and free speech. Like, you should go hire some security. But I actually said, we are willing to pay for additional security. Because the fact is, I actually hired, you know, two bodyguards for the event we ultimately did. So I'm willing to pay for security. I mean, that's money worth spending, obviously.
Sure.
So I said that. So it would not cost them anything, and they said no. So I don't know what's going on. I think it's basically, they probably do get some pushback from anti-fascists, so-called. They might get some pushback by the staff. You know, obviously a lot of African Americans are in D.C. I'm kind of skeptical about that. I mean, maybe that's the case. I think most of the workers in the kitchen or whatever, they don't care or even know what's going on. And we're like great guests. I mean, the last conference we held there, we had lots of people, good food, no one got in trouble. I mean, we're an ideal customer.
And it should go without saying that everyone in our groups have always shown the utmost courtesy and respect to any of the staff in any of these venues and conferences we've ever held.
Absolutely. I have never gotten any complaints. At the Reagan building are actually very staunch people. They know exactly what's going on. They get calls, and they answer the calls the same way. They said, we are a public facility, therefore it would be a free speech violation. The Ronald Reagan building, and I'm not just blowing smoke, they could not be nicer in terms of just being reasonable, you know, hosts to these events. So anyway, it's clearly this McCarran guy, or whatever his name is, he's clearly making a political decision. And I guess we could say that's his right. He's a private individual. But, literally, we reserve the First Amendment lounge. So, you know, and I actually did that. We had a choice of two different rooms, and I decided to do the First Amendment lounge. I thought that would be symbolic on the program. So, look, you have the right to do whatever you want. You don't have to host us. But I think you should change the mission statement of the National Press Club. I think you should rename the lounge. We actually we're going to call it the Social Justice Lounge or the Pearl Clutching Lounge. There are a number of things we can change it to, but it's not a free speech lounge anymore. So don't call it that. But anyway, I'm dwelling too much on the negative because the fact is this was positive. So we did some we used a very typical method of having a redirection point. So we sent everyone to a landmark restaurant, actually, and then we directed them to the Willard Hotel, which is a classic hotel. It's actually famous for the origin of the word lobby. Its lobby is the origin of the word lobby, to lobby someone. So, beautiful hotel, five-star place. And
hold on right there. Richard, hold on right there, my friend. We have to take our first break of the evening. We've set the table now with regards to what happened before the press conference. Now we're going to get into the good news, and there is a lot of good news. In fact, I think even the controversy and the struggle made the victory that much more delicious. And we'll talk about that with
it
Richard
did.
Right after this. Hold on.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Richard Spencer is about halfway through his well-deserved victory lap, and we pulled him to the side of the track just for a moment to hop on with us. And of course, Richard called this press conference to announce to the world what the alt-right is and what the alt-right isn't, vis-a-vis Hillary Clinton's alt-right speech. And of course, in addition to being called out in general, Richard, you and I were two of six people that her campaign named specifically in this statement on her website, appealing to her donors and supporters, saying that if you don't get all of your friends to vote for Hillary, it'll be Edwards and Spencer and Ann Coulter and Kevin McDonald and Jared Taylor running the country. You saw that. What was your response to that very quickly before we get back to the topic at hand?
Well, I just want Hillary to keep it up.
Interestingly,
I love it.
Well, it certainly we certainly reveled in it. And did you know, this is what was surprising, of all the people, the millions of people she could have chosen from on Twitter to be part of that highlight, those were, in order, the last five guests that have appeared on this program. I thought that was interesting. But
that's
the truth.
She also chose smart people. I mean, I want people to go Google Kevin McDonald for yourself. You could go find some, you know, walking stereotype of the radical right who's, you know, been arrested multiple times for drug use and, you know, getting in fights or whatever and say, oh, this guy's going to win. But no, you're recognizing to light people who Americans who are concerned about their future should be Googling and reading about. So I think it's
great. I thought it was a very bad play on her part. Well, again, it just goes back to the fundamental rule. Why give the spotlight to what would be perceived as
a theory about that? Actually,
all right, go quickly on that because I want to get back to the triumph. Go.
Okay, I'll be very brief. I think she knows what she's doing. I think Hillary Clinton may very well be sick, but she's not dumb. She's never. You don't climb up the pole as high as she got without being very wily and intelligent. I think she is promoting the alt-right. I think she recognizes that we're an intelligent voice. I think she recognizes that we're smarter than conservatives. Not that, you know, conservative intellectuals, not that that's saying very much. And I think she wants us to take over the right because I think she sees the possibility of a major realignment where she's going to bring over a lot of middle class and upper middle class Republican voting white people. And she wants to say, oh, no, that's the icky party. That's the party of the alt-right and Trump's populism and things like that. And I think she wants to win over people like that by ironically, you could say, promoting our work.
Well, and then in addition to trying to promote us, she was praising George Bush in her speech. It was the most incredible thing. I mean,
exactly.
This whole thing.
That's the game she played. She praised George Bush. She praised Mitt Romney. She praised John McCain. Three terrible people, in my opinion. Romney being the least terrible. But they're all bad, in my opinion. So she was basically trying to bring over upper middle class people who voted for those people. And that is what she's doing.
The political world is turning upside down, it would appear, and it makes you happy you lived this long. But nevertheless, I departed just a moment from your triumph yesterday to further illustrate. She called out the alt-right in general. She called out some of our fellow travelers, including you and I by name. And now here we are. You had this press conference. It was a press conference that needed to be had. We understand now what happened at the National Press Club. So
yeah. So we directed everyone to the Willard Hotel, which is a really beautiful place, five-star hotel. We had a tremendous amount of journalism, journalists of interest, some Fox News celebrity or two, lots of journalists on the Daily Caller, or Daily Beast, so on. There was actually a man who was writing a book on the alt-right, who's a professor at a small college, his name Mr. Maine, and he came. We talked afterwards. There's just a ton of interest. Reuters was there. NBC stopped by. I mean, it's really great what's happened.
And, well, Kristen Powers was there. As you said, there were some names.
Longer Fox. I think she's on CNN now. Was there. And so tons of interest. Obviously, it justified a press conference. I mean, most press conferences at the press club don't have this kind of interest.
It was busting at the seams for anyone who... Oregon. Whoever watched it yesterday could see that it was standing room only. But please go ahead, Richard.
Oh, yeah. So it was a great room. Everyone had a good time. I stayed after, talked to a lot of journalists for hours, it seemed, and we, celebrated with some friends. So it was a really good movement. I think we defined the alt-right. I don't really want to go into this now. I one mantra, you could say, I put forward was that the alt-right is an indispensable aspect of the alt-right is that race is real. Race matters, and race is the foundation of identity. And I think that there are lots of different aspects of the alt-right. We can disagree on certain things, have different perspectives on other things. But I think that is that's an irreducible core, I think, to what the alt-right is. I also talked about this, and I don't want this to seem disrespectful to Jared and Peter, but, the alt-right is a lot younger than Jared and Peter. And I'm old for the alt-right. I mean, the alt-right is a young movement. It is not a movement of nostalgia or something. It's not a conservative movement. It's a very forward-thinking, forward-looking movement. It's a young and dynamic movement. And I definitely conveyed that. The reason why we couldn't have, people who are movers and shakers who are younger in this is because we have to use a pseudonym because of this clear oppression that we're going under. I mean, you pay a cost when you are open. You know this. I know this. There's the jail thing, but there's, getting attacked and, in a small town, getting terrible emails and all this kind of stuff. It's real. There is a cost. If I were working at a corporate law firm, I would be fired so fast I wouldn't even know what hit me. If they figured out that held his opinion. So, it's like this is the reason why people like Jared and Peter are extremely brave, as are you. And I will always have respect for people who show their face. But I totally understand those who want to remain anonymous. So it was unfortunate we, in a way, couldn't have the full alt-right there. But that's where we are right now.
Well, they couldn't have all fit in that room. And by the way, the Willard Intercontinental Hotel is hardly a compromise or a trade down. It's a very posh, appropriate location.
Oh, yeah.
As we put the best foot forward that we can. Hey, well, me and you talk about it every time we talk, how important the presentation and the packaging is. And there's a lot of truth to that. You can't have it at the free room at the Shoney's. So you have to have it at these places. You have to put forth the appearance of power, because that's what we strive to attain. But with regards to the elder statement, I liken them to Moses. They may not be able to see the end of this, but they can see the beginning. They might not reach the promised land, but they know that we will get there. And I think that's the trajectory right now, Richard. Would you say that's our trajectory?
Oh, look, no one can say that we are a fringe movement that is not being recognized. I mentioned this at the conference. I've been doing this for almost a decade, and the major obstacle really is ignorance. You know, no one was really talking about us. We were talking to each other. And, you know, there would be one time, you know, Rachel Maddow would do something on me, and we'd all freak out for 3 months and then move on. Now, there is an article from the mainstream media on the alt-right every day. There are actually multiple ones. So, again, most of them are negative, of course. Some of them are okay, you know, fairly objective. Some of them are terrible. But the fact is, we're being recognized. And you've got to get over that obstacle first. Before you can start to influence people, before you can even have power, you've got to be recognized for us. We are now a force to be reckoned with. We are now a force that every political candidate is going to know basically who we are. They're going to have to deal with us. They're going to have to address us. And that is a major achievement.
Hey, Richard, I don't think we could end this interview with a more uplifting and forward-thinking statement than that. And so with that, I'll let you go for the evening. But we will talk to you again soon. Have a safe trip back home, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Jay.
Richard Spencer, everybody. Check him out at RadixJournal.com, NPI America, and, of course, he's the president of the National Policy Institute. Jared Taylor, who was a part of that press conference, is up next. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Seeking to claim a place at the head of the gender revolution vanguard, Brown University will offer free feminine hygiene products in all campus restrooms, including those specifically set aside for males. We wanted to set a tone of trans inclusivity and not forget that they're an important part of the population, student body president Viet Nguyen told Newsweek. Writing approvingly of the initiative, Kylie Chung of The Frisky, a feminist publication, states that Brown's latest decision comes at a time of increasing hostility toward the transgender community and their bathroom rights. Transgender and gender nonconforming individuals are often sweepingly portrayed by conservatives as men who disguise themselves as women to harass and assault normal girls, despite the simple, objective fact that there exist no recorded incidents of transgender individuals harassing people in restrooms, asserts Chung. She either ignored dozens of cases of that kind in several states and Canada, or assumed that the assailants in those cases weren't truly transgendered, which would be an ironic claim given that transgenderism is a self-defined condition. The actual purpose of this gesture is not to serve the interest of self-identified trans men, but to tutor normal people who insist on recognizing irreducible biological differences between the sexes. By putting feminine hygiene products in men's rooms, Chung continued, Brown is sending the important message that trans men are men, and even if they menstruate, that doesn't make them any less welcome in the restroom that corresponds with their gender identity. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, the hits keep coming on tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. Richard Spencer was our guest for the first half hour. Now we have Jared Taylor, our good friend from American Renaissance. He's the editor of American Renaissance. Jared, if you start appearing any more frequently, we're going to have to give you a part-time salary.
I would accept.
All right. Well, we'll work that in the budget. Let me go back to the books here. But
I understand. A fraction of zero is still zero.
Or as they said in the Golden Oldie, nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
That's right.
But anyway, congratulations to you as well for your participation in yesterday's event. I called it a decisive victory and a tour de force. Would you agree? All right, we're getting Jared back. We had just a technical error on our end. We hung up on Jared. So you never want to do that, but we're going to get him back. And of course, when Jared rejoins us, we were going to ask for his thoughts and observations on having participated in yesterday's event. So let's hope it doesn't. You know, when you lose somebody on the phone, you call them, but then they call you, and you're calling each other at the same time, so you can't connect. Let's see what happens. If we had the Jeopardy theme song music, that would be very appropriate to play right now here on the Political Cesspool, where we try to prove every week that we are live and not taped because a little mistake now and then adds to the authenticity. Jared, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, so I said it was a decisive victory and a tour de force. What were your observations and takeaways from having participated in yesterday's event with Richard and Peter Brimelow?
I assume that Richard has discussed the irony of the fact that the National Press Club, for the first time in 108 years, refused a group an opportunity to speak to the press. And it was particularly ironic that he had reserved the First Amendment Lounge for that very purpose. Now, the disappointing thing to me is that the media has not taken this up with any kind of enthusiasm at all. They really don't seem to care, and that goes to show you how little they really believe, how few principles they actually have. It's the standard thing, free speech for everyone who agrees with me. And if you don't agree with me, well, then you don't get free speech, and we don't want to hear you, and we don't want to give you a chance to be heard. It's so stinkingly hypocritical. I suppose I'm naive enough to think that at least some liberals out there might actually have principles, but I get disappointed year after year.
Well, it's, again, a case of the National Press Club is not unique in this. They're all for diversity, but don't attempt to have a diversity of opinion. Is that pretty much the long and the short of it?
Well, as I like to say, those who are claimed to be champions of diversity and tolerance are never really tolerant of people who don't believe in diversity.
But that's a good one also.
That's the world we live in. But no, it was I think it was a very good experience. So we had a good collection of press there. The reports are starting to come out, and I do understand that C-SPAN was there, so the entire thing should be visible on C-SPAN before long, although I don't believe they broadcast it live. I think there was some other Trump event going on, which they chose to broadcast live, but we'll see. There is a video of the conference, but it's very, very poor quality. It was shot by some sort of amateur, but once the C-SPAN video is up, I think people have a very high definition and high audio option to hear what we actually said. I thought we made a lot of good points.
Well, I actually watched the whole thing yesterday on the amateur recording that you mentioned, and it might not have been the best quality, but you could certainly tell who everyone was, and you could make out every word that was said. And so I was thankful to be able to watch that in real time from beginning to end, and I watched it for the purposes of covering it on the program. And it makes you thankful that we really have broken through. Of course, this show's been on the air for 12 years. I guess we were the first radio program that was explicitly championing our calls now. You have podcasts that are ubiquitous, and I'm thankful for all of them. But even with Twitter, this broadcast live on Richard Spencer's Twitter feed yesterday, and so a lot of people were watching it on there. And I say again, Jared, I don't think that it could have come across much better. I thought what you and Richard and Peter were able to do, the skill with which you articulated our positions, was just first rate. And it does make a difference for those who are truly coming to learn. Now, it doesn't change the fact that the media will spin this however they want, and it's almost universally bad. One headline, I think you and I may have mentioned this morning when we spoke, one headline from the Daily Beast read, alt-right presser, "We're not racists, we just hate Jews." Now, that was the headline. That wasn't a nugget tucked into the article at some point. That was the headline. How in the world, Jared, could they have come away with that? Because let me tell you folks what I saw. There was a question asked about the alt-right and Jewish individuals. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, the answers were, both you and Richard addressed the question. Richard said he thought that on some levels, I'm paraphrasing now, that it was a disservice to Jewish individuals to have them be part of the alt-right because they have a different culture and they're more comfortable with their culture, so on and so forth. You said, well, if there are Jews out there who are supportive of our program, we should welcome them in. So it basically went from perhaps they're more comfortable being with in their own culture, maybe it wouldn't be appropriate for them to have them adopt our culture, to yes, they can come if they agree with our tenets. Where the media got "we hate Jews," that was never said.
Nope. No, they invent this stuff all the time. It's really quite absolutely fantastic, the stuff they come up with. It'd be hard to, until you wait for the article to come out, you cudgel your brains and you think to yourself, how are they going to twist this? And then they come up with stuff that you could never imagine. In that very same article, by a woman named Betsy Woodruff, she goes on to quote me as having given an example of the biological reality of race, the fact that you can tell races apart by the patterns of the combinations of microbes that live in your mouth. This along with such things as different reactions to medicines, different disease rates, all kinds of very carefully measured traits on which the races differ. And then she goes on to say, she quotes me on that, they also differ, as a matter of fact, on the patterns of microbes that inhabit their mouths, he said. Thus, he continued, we shouldn't expect black kids to do as well in school as white kids. Well, I wonder how well she did in school.
Well, she probably aced deceit and treachery, if that was the course at her particular university. But no, I think each of you had about 15 minutes to speak. You were offering some examples of biological diversity within the races. You made mention of the fact that blacks are in some cases better in athletics. We excel in other areas. Asians excel in other areas, you said. But another example, or even the microbes in our mouths are different. And that's a scientific fact. It's a biological reality. And then, of course, this is how it was spun in the press.
I mean, who could possibly have imagined something as so distorted and stupid? But that's the way they operate. Then I guess my other favorite article that covered this was the Daily Kos or Kos. I've never known how you pronounce them.
They're horrible. They're one of the worst.
Yep, they are. Well, as you know, because you listen to me, I devoted the last several minutes of my 15 to explaining why calling us white supremacists is just completely stupid and wrong. So lo and behold, what does the headline say? White supremacists hold DC press conference. You have less patience than I, and sometimes I wonder how come I have such patience with the past.
I complimented you specifically on that. I said you had the patience of Job. I was kind of live-tweeting aspects of this. Because this is the thing. Me and you talk about this off the air all the time. I said, Jared, I just can't do this interview. Would you like to do it? He said, oh, no, you should do it. Me and you are friends. Why would you want me – why would you encourage me to talk to these people? And it's all – I understand. People have to talk. We have to get our message out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that there are people like you and Peter and Richard who have more patience than I do. But when stuff comes out like this, this is just – it's almost you would expect it to be a parody or some satire, something from The Onion intended to be comical. But they actually expect and hope people will believe the caricature that they're presenting of us.
Well, James, I wish you were more patient because you make an excellent impression. You come across as entirely reasonable so long as they quote you correctly. Now, that's a little bit too much to ask, but it is very important, I think, for it to be clear that we do have spokesmen that are willing and ready to be out in the open. We can't be...
Well, of course, you know, the good thing for me is I'm here live on the radio for 3 hours every week. And a lot of times, in fact, just about every week now, they come and just listen to the show and then write whatever article they want to use me in. So I have that benefit. But if it's something live that's uncut, I'm happy to do it. And if the right situation comes along, you never say never, but this is just a general rule. That is, of course, always exceptions to it. When we come back more with Jared Taylor, we're going to shift gears.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we have one more segment with the incomparable Jared Taylor tonight, one of our most frequent guests here, and for very good reason. We are talking about the different aspects and facets of the alt-right press conference yesterday, which featured two of our guests tonight, Jared Taylor and Richard Spencer. I would have Peter on, but I just can't understand proper English as he speaks it, so I'm from the South, you know. And anyway, when I'm with Peter in person, I have to read his lips. But we have talked about what happened with the National Press Club, some of Richard's observations and takeaways, now with Jared Taylor. Of course, the press is spinning this negatively, as you would expect. But my question to you is this, Jared. The press seems to have this fantasy and wants to realize that there is a white boogeyman under every bed. And so it's like we're catnip. They have to come, they have to cover us, and then they have to spin it in the most fantastic way that they can. If they really wanted to make the alt-right look bad, it would have made it look bad had no one been there. But instead, that press conference room was busting at the seams with people lining the stairs and, in fact, going out into the hall. There was not a seat empty. Would that have been, for their part, their strategy, a better way to go, to just not offer the coverage? Now I think there's no way. I mean, Hillary did so much for the alt-right a couple of weeks ago, and it's only continued to snowball and gain traction since then. Now we have so much media, it's really as though the alt-right has taken center stage in presidential politics, in a manner of speaking. What would your response be to that?
Yes. I must say I do very much appreciate what Hillary Clinton has done for us. She's really a sweet girl, and we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are without her help and love and affection, and I send her kisses. But I agree with you that they would be better off completely ignoring us, but that doesn't work. That just doesn't work anymore, thanks to you, thanks to me. Thanks to Peter and thanks to Richard. We really have our own ways of reaching Americans. And as a matter of fact, when you think about it, when somebody like the Daily Kos and the Daily Beast, when those people misrepresent things so egregiously, it in a way plays into our hands, because it just goes to prove how unreliable those people are. To conclude from the fact that I talk about microbes in the mouth, that explains why black people don't do as well in school. That's just so stupid and so wrong that I think even their faithful admirers and readers are going to wonder themselves, what's this? And anybody with any sense of fairness and any real curiosity will discover how stupidly they're skewing and spinning things. You know, I think the media really have absolutely no idea why their trust rating in the United States is even lower than that of Congress. My recollection is the last few statistics were that about 12% of Americans trust Congress to do the right thing. In the case of the media, it is less, it's in single digits, 8 or 9%, that's all, who think that the media in general can be trusted. And this is why. And they don't seem to realize that they're digging their own graves. So, yeah, they could have ignored us, but that won't work either. The most sensible thing to do would have been to report on us fairly. At least that would improve their credibility, even if it did get our message out. But our message is going to get out anyway, because, as I say, you're there, I'm there, Peter's there, Richard's there, and a whole host of other people are out there getting the message out. Now, what does concern me is what will happen if Hillary is elected. I think Hillary, if she has a chance, she will appoint a whole slew of Supreme Court justices who will find some way to read the First Amendment in a way that would shut us down. I think there's a real possibility of that, that they could close the Internet to us. I think that could happen.
Well, I was talking off air, and you were, of course, on with Sam Bushman on Thursday on his program, and he was part of the big Clinton administration purge of talk radio programs back in the mid-90s, which was before I went on the air in 2004, and he was sharing with me about that experience. And so certainly, now that Hillary's back at the head of the Democratic Party, you have this censorship at the Press Club, which hosted Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, but can't host Jared Taylor. And so there is a parallel there, but of course, if she does get elected, Jared, and we've made mention of this last week, and I even asked Richard his thoughts on it, Hillary Clinton's campaign not only named the alt-right in general, but named me, you, Richard, Ann Coulter, and Kevin McDonald specifically in a campaign release. So, and you were actually the one who alerted me to that, so I know you're well familiar with it. What was your response to that?
Well, that was really quite interesting. It was the fact that we were live tweeting, and we were talking about her program. About her speech. And just as the press has done all along, they are trying to blame Donald Trump for our views. And if I'm listening to a Donald Trump speech and I put out a tweet saying that I approve something that he said, oh, this is proof that Donald Trump, he too, is a vile and loathsome white supremacist. But no, I was very pleased that Hillary, at least somebody in her campaign, this is not she. I don't think that she has so far pronounced my name in public in a speech, and maybe has never done so privately either. But at least her campaign has taken notice of me and you and Richard, Kevin McDonald. Yes, yes, I'm glad to be noticed, even by swine.
Although we don't cast our pearls before them, Jared, but yes, it was in fact someone in her campaign, and so of course that's a legitimate proxy, and it appeared on HillaryClinton.com. So that's official stuff. I mean, that's not we're not connecting dots here, but that is in fact a direct connection. And so this is where we are. So you're concerned that should she be elected, that she sick her attack dogs on those. And in fact, you and I, Jared, were listed by Media Matters as two of the top 25 right-wing media fixtures who were responsible for Trump's nomination. So surely we have to be on the to-do list should she be elected. But getting back to the topic of the press conference, again, a grand slam, I thought, by all legitimate accounts and respects. And as you mentioned, regardless of how the establishment press spins it, you can come to this program and hear from two people who were there and participated in this. You can go to amren.com and read about it. Richard's website, I'm sure, will carry a video feed. Through these venues and outlets, you will be able to draw your own conclusions and watch it and form your own ideas about what it was and what it wasn't. But let me ask you this, Jared, with the couple of minutes we have remaining. What aspects or elements of the press conference would you like to share with the audience that perhaps I've not yet asked you about?
Well, let me think about that. I think that what was most encouraging, really, is that some members of the press who have been following the alt-right somewhat more closely, someone like Rosie Gray for BuzzFeed, for example, she certainly doesn't love us, but at least she has been around long enough to realize that we are not the unhinged lunatics that some of her colleagues seem to depict us as. And so she was asking logical questions about, well, what is your influence within the Republican Party? What are the next steps? What kind of professionalization do you intend to undertake? She takes us seriously as at least an intellectual and potentially a political force. And it's gratifying to see people seeing us in those terms. There was another guy there who was asking questions, who was writing a book about the alt-right. And I agreed with him that at some point he's going to give me an extensive interview. And now, he is hostile to the alt-right. But I told him that I'm right and you're wrong. And if we talk for long enough, I might even convince you. The point is, this is showing a genuine interest in our ideas, in our potential, even if the idea is to depict us in a way that's unflattering. They're taking us seriously, as they should. And as I concluded my remarks, I pointed out that America is changing, the world is changing, and we are leading these changes. I hope that I got under their skins.
Well, that was certainly a very inspirational way to phrase it. And I thought Richard said something yesterday that was quite on point, and that is that this is our ideas are bigger than Trump. They will live on past Trump. And this is a dream. It's sort of like the realization of the Zionist state for Jewish folks back in the day. This is something that's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next year. But what we're working towards is a dream, and dreams can be inspiring. We're not reacting to something. We're moving forward and thinking bigger. And I think that's in essence what he was saying. And that's something that can draw people in.
You know, the fact is, he was someone asked him, What effect will that have on our movement if Trump is defeated? He says, oh, it'll be like a punch in the gut, but we'll move on. I don't think it'll affect our movement really that much at all. We were growing before Trump. We will grow after Trump, with him or without him. He is not really part of our movement. It's handy to have him along. But we are on the road to truth. We are on the road to morality. We are in conformity with history and all we know about human nature. And our ideas will prevail because we're right, Trump or no Trump.
Well, it's been an honor. I've been around for 12 years now officially, and we're doing some things a few years before that. You've been around a lot longer than that, but it's been an honor to be part of this collaboration and a collaborative effort with you for the past 12 years. I'm looking forward, more forward to the future now than I think at any point during my career, and look forward to exploring the next phase of this journey together with you, Jared, as always. And I'm sure it won't be very long at all until we have you back on the program, and I hasten the day.
It's always a pleasure, James. Thanks so much for what you do.
Thank you very much, brother. Jared Taylor, Amren.com. We're going to take a break. That's the end of the first hour. Second hour up in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.